Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Monday morning, so we are talking about practical Christianity. Does what you believe work? We've been talking about what is a hindrance to resting and accomplishing God's purpose in our life now. And our reason for looking at those hindrances is so that we can understand what our battlefield is. We are not to be ignorant in this process. We're not just here to be blown about by every wind of doctrine or circumstance. We are to be overcomers and join God in the purpose and plans that He has for us, with us, and by us. One of His goals is that we would be so involved in His processes and engaged in His character that we would be participating in the decision making. I know that sounds kind of different, but what His purpose for us is to be full sons of His and express the very character and nature that He is expressing to us. What's His basic nature? It's to give. And as we become freed from our flesh and our beliefs and the hindrances, we will more and more be not just reflections of, but conduits of His eternal life now on this earth. We're not talking about affecting the world, you know, changing the world through ministry, you know, building more churches, more charities. What we're really talking about is reconnecting this world, this earth, which is in the natural realm, with the supernatural and the spiritual realm, bringing those back into unity. When you think about the effect that Jesus had just walking around on this earth, one man, one person, and how what He did and what He said, you know, what did one person say? He turned the world upside down, even though what He was actually doing was turning an upside down world right side up. That's what we're looking at. That's part of our future. But it's not going to be through institutions. It's not going to be through the approaches that are being taken today. It's not going to be through the biggest church or ministry or Christian television or internet or radio network. It will be by God's Spirit and our Spirit having its way in this earth. have no idea how we're going to get there or what it's going to look like, but we're on our way. God's always been on his way. So this is not something new that he's doing. It's new to us, at least to some of us. But this is why, one of the reasons it's so important that we understand that so many of our beliefs are based on acceptable doctrine, earthly knowledge, and not on the experiencing of God himself. This doesn't mean that we're going to be, you know, we never need to go up against organized religion. Wouldn't it be better just to have that light that so draws those that support organized religion, that organization falls from within? And that's really, again, going back to what did Jesus do? His fight was not against the world system or even the devil. His fight was for you and I. You and I then can be positive rather than attacking anyone. We can be for the gift of life. We can receive who God is and what he is and cooperate with God to give it to whom and in the manner of his choosing. So there's plenty for us to do. And I love the saying that if you're on God's payroll, if you're doing God's work, he'll take care of you. It may not be what you think. We often think that full-time ministry is not having to have a job and living by faith. And I think God's just really going to turn that upside down. There is the move where, you know, God was going to supply our needs through diamonds materializing and gold dust and all this kind of stuff. That's, I think, being kind of presumptuous. That if we want to feed our natural body, we're going to pay for it with natural dollars, and we're going to make those natural dollars in a natural way. But it's our being changed and receiving life that he will make sure that we have the encouragement we need, the motivation, the life that we need when we need it as we are depending on him. Those are the resources that he's made available. So again, this goes back to why it's so important that we understand the realms of reality and how the laws work for each one of those realms. And when we try to apply the laws of one realm to another realm, they're not going to work. They're going to fail. And we don't draw conclusions about who God is, but rather are open to, well, maybe our assumptions are wrong. So we've been talking about our purpose now and the hindrances. And we talked a good deal last week about the flesh, about ourself and our self-life. So we are beginning to understand that our self-life, your soul, has a life of its own. Now that you are a spirit being, God is bringing that self-life to an end. He doesn't share his throne with anyone, including your soul. Your soul is to be in subjection to your spirit, and God is working with you to bring that about. The effort and outcome of that not happening is what the self-life is. Your soul getting its needs met its own way. That's part of how we have developed our own beliefs and our own doctrines, is because we create something that suits us. We create an ideology and belief system that suits our temperament, our history, our needs and wants and desires, and sometimes is not based at all in truth, in who God is. So when you challenge those beliefs, when you say, how does that work? This is one of the reasons where we talk about, does what you believe work? When you hear someone else saying, the discussion is closed about that. That's always a good sign that they're not confident that what they're saying is going to stand up to scrutiny. You know, when the answer to your questions is you just have to believe by faith, odds are what they're saying or teaching will not stand up to scrutiny. Truth from God will. Who God is and what he is can be objectively tested. I'm sure you've run across people that are not interested at all in talking about God. They may not believe he exists, and they think that anybody who does believe in him are just stupid. Delusional, easy to manipulate, you know, just not uneducated. Well, what I do in those cases, I just ask, could you be wrong? And sometimes they say yes, and sometimes they may say no. But I just say, what if he could convince you that he existed? Would that be okay? And generally speaking, they say, well, yeah, but he won't, but because he doesn't exist. Okay, but what if he was able to convince you? Not me, I'm not going to take you to church, I'm not going to make you read the Bible, just if God himself could reveal himself to you and convince you that he was real, would that be okay? Would you be open to that? And eventually, I've not run across anybody who turned that down. Sometimes it took a while, because what you find out is they actually do believe in God, but just think he's so mean they don't want to have anything to do with him. So you work through that, and you point that out. So what if this God could convince you? Would that be okay? What would be so wrong with that? Then you leave it at that, and you just remind him, okay, well, you know, there is a God, and he's just heard you. And now it's his job to convince you, to reveal himself to you. He's not expecting you to take him at my word or at your beliefs or what you've seen. He knows where you're at. He knows what you believe. And it's up to him to make himself real to you. It's up to him to convince you. It's not my job. Now, I'll be here as a resource. I'd be happy to talk to you about it. But this is about your relationship with him. I can't make you believe him, and I don't really care whether you do or not, because I know that he's on your trail. He's after you. But he's got his time frame. What that does is it puts the weight of responsibility for other people in God's hands. besides parents raising children, none of us is responsible for someone else. We have one God, and He is the one making Himself known to us. When we rely on organizations or methodologies or approaches, we are putting something in the way of God and His target. So if we want to help God, we can depend on Him. And He has plenty for us to do without us making up our own tasks, our own projects. But what you're here in this world, in this earth for, is between you and God. He may never have you speak to anyone else about Him in your entire life. He may have you speaking to someone else about Him every day of your life. It's really none of your business. Your business is, are you depending on Him? How He manifests that dependence is up to Him. These are the beliefs that we have, that as we rely on Him, as we depend on Him, He makes Himself known to us in such a variety of ways that it will keep us plenty busy without having to make up our own projects. So, again, what is hindering our purpose now? Wanting to maintain control hinders our purpose now. The goal of flesh, of our self-life, is to control. So even as God brings healing into our lives and we begin to enter into His rest and into freedom, we find ourselves giving up control to God. We all find it hard to change, because change means having to deal with something new. And odds are most of us feel like doing something new or dealing with something new puts in that opportunity for making a mistake or a risk. Change is hard. So our self-life comes along and gives us a reason to not change, or to resist that change, or to have a say in how we are changed. In other words, as God asks us to give this up so we can be free in that area, the self-life comes along and has a darn good reason why we shouldn't give that up. Or give up 99% of it, but hold on to this one. Well, you can always change your mind. You can always go back. If this doesn't turn out to be God, or if this doesn't turn out to bring you freedom, you can always go back. God knows what it's going to take to free you. And fortunately, it's His job to remove and free you from your flesh. You can't do it. That's not your job. He's not saying you need to get rid of your flesh. Your job is to depend on Him. Stay focused on Him. He'll take care of it. But when you hear it screaming in the background, "Don't leave me, don't abandon me," that's when you stay focused on God. You put it into His hands and just recognize and realize he alone is the one who is going to remove that from your life. It'll hurt. Your self-life has got you through some hard times. Your own strengths and your own weaknesses even have given you your only source of identity very often until learning to depend on him. This is why the Lord says, taste and see. We need to experience him as real in our lives. Experience how much he loves us. Experience his devotion and consistency and the joy that comes from rest in him. Now, today, this moment, this minute. to determine and know that our needs are filled now because our needs are filled, not because we believe they are, but because we are satisfied and we see the change he's made in our lives. That's how we know, not because we believe it, but because it's real. So our self-life, our flesh comes along and gives us reasons to maintain control. This, again, is normal. This is what your flesh has been doing for your entire life. But the Lord will deal with this in his time, in his way. A lot of times we get real frustrated and we want to get rid of our flesh. Now, God, why don't you just take this from me? This is just another area where we are learning endurance and patience in allowing and recognizing that God's going to deal with the flesh in his timing, in his manner, and to just leave it in his hands. Because the more we rail against that flesh and get frustrated that God isn't dealing with it the way we want him to, we are actually rebuking God and saying, you know, whatever it is you're dealing with, this is more important over here. So over time, the initiative and the motivation for our lives is transferred from our soul, our will, to him through our spirit. And we learn to accept change on a daily basis. Not because we've become so, you know, attention deficit, you know, where we can't concentrate on anything for more than 2 minutes, but because we are now stable and secure in our relationship with him, where we can turn on a dime moment to moment, not because we are turning from anything, we've given up on things and moved to the next thing to stimulate us or what catches our interest, but because we are fully flexible and drawn by him. We have that confidence that we are not just hearing him, but that we are in him and receiving him. We know he loves us. We know he values us as a unique being, and we know by experience that he accepts us now, and he approves of us. We have his seal of approval now. We know this because we have experienced it. He has made it real to us, and that's his job. How he does that for you is going to be different than how he does that for me. So I can't try to convince you. Well, I can try, but it's not going to work. I can't convince you. All I can do is point you to him and say, are you willing just to receive the value that God wants to give you, the love he wants to show you, Are you willing to let him make himself known to you? Is that okay with you? This whole concept of leading someone to Christ, we've kind of switched it around where that we have to convince someone of Christ rather than introducing them and then leaving the room. We feel often it's our responsibility. Now that God has done this, that, or the other thing, then we have to take it from here. But that which has been started in the Spirit, by God, in the Spirit, has to be finished the same way, and everything in between. None of us are responsible for someone else's growth, whatever that means. We've talked before about spiritually speaking, you're as spiritually mature as you're ever going to get, because there is no change in that spiritual realm. It's your soul that is becoming more and more free and more dependent. And in essence, your soul really isn't changing either. It's just becoming free and learning how to live the way God created it, your mind, your will, and emotions. So you're learning how to think and feel and choose as a free person, as a free soul. And to do that, God removes the hindrances. He removes your soul, your self-life, and your flesh. And through that, obviously, we come against our enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that's what they're here for. Because it's that struggle, that overcoming, that forces us to develop those skills of depending on him. So we know that he loves us and values us, accepts and approves of us now, regardless of where we are on that learning curve. So whether we've known him for 5 minutes or 5 decades, wherever you are is exactly where he wants you. He knows exactly where you are, and he knows what you need for your next step. He's arranged every single circumstance of your life. There are no second causes. There's no one else we can blame. There's no secondary issues. As soon as you start saying, okay, well, it's the devil's fault, or it's the because of sin, you're saying God isn't God in that area. There are other explanations for that. And as long as we refuse to allow those other explanations, we limit God. We raise up in our own self-life and have put up a hindrance. God will not allow that hindrance to stay. And in that area, you have allowed your self-life to become an enemy of God. Now, sometimes he deals with us harshly, and sometimes he deals with us gently. But rest assured, he is dealing with you. He loves you too much to let you to continue to live out of your flesh. Instead of trying to understand what he's doing, any changes he makes can be, if not understood, at least endured. Many times it will not be a matter of, okay, I see what God's doing, and that makes it easier. But as we learn to rest and know him better, we can say, even though I don't understand, thank you. We'll be getting back together again tomorrow morning at 7:30. Have a great rest of the day. This has been Diane Thomas, Prepare Radio. Thanks for tuning in.